Welcome back to the Baseball Podcast. We're continuing our series on the Australian Baseball League and what's going on with the Australian Baseball League, the status of baseball in Australia, and what the league can learn moving forward, what it can work on moving forward, and if there's going to be a season or not. So we're thrilled to be joined by Brisbane Bandits great four-time Claxton Shield winner and Team Australia great Logan Wade, friend of the show. You've been on here before. Logan, thanks for coming on, man. Tell us what's been going on with you.
No, thanks for having me. No, look, I've just been out here getting ready, and obviously the ABL's still going ahead, so no real news or no kind of setbacks for me. Just doing the life thing. I've got some kids. Obviously life in Australia is great, so gearing up for the ABL season.
Perfect. Perfect. I mean, you told me this was off air. You told me you're in the Bandit Stadium practicing, which is a great optic. Thank you for including that. And you've got the gear on, which is real fast before we get into the deep topics. I want to know your thoughts. I was an enormous fan of the Bandits' first color scheme with like the white and the red and the black and the yellow. And now they've got this blue and yellow. I understand if you have corporate overlords, you can't give an honest opinion, but if you could, give me your opinion. Which one did you like better?
Look, there's been many jerseys. So when I first started with the Bandits, there was the kind of the maroon, the yellow, and then I had like the grey and the yellow mixed in with maroon as well. I like that. And then we went to like a yellow and black and gold for 2 years. I don't know if you remember that. That was
I
awesome.
think I remember that one.
Yeah, a little
Yeah,
bit, yeah.
that was kind of when we went on that, like, pretty much that reign of four straight. That was unreal. And then we kind of went back to like this color here is like the Brisbane Council, like the Brisbane region's colours, right? So we've kind of gone back even further to this colour, which I don't mind. If I had an option, well, I mean, we won four straight in the yellow and gold and the black. I really like that colour. Not saying I don't like this. This is awesome too. It's just bright, that's all.
Right. It kind of looks like we both went to a college called Widener University over here, and it's like the exact same color scheme.
Is
It's,
it?
so,
I mean, it works. It's got all the colors. It's cool. Stands out. So,
Yeah, there's definitely
logo's
work.
dynamite, by the way.
Yes, the logo's spectacular.
Oh, you like it? Yeah, I mean, the logo is the main thing, right? It's cool.
Absolutely.
I think Australian baseball has done a very good job with that in particular. Like I was a big fan of the Auckland Tuatara, even New Zealand, but it's ABL. I liked the Adelaide Bites old logo before they became the Giants. I was such a fan of that with like the shark mouth. I don't know why they changed it, but I don't know.
Canberra has good merch too.
Canberra has, I mean, to be honest, there's not really a team that doesn't. Like the Blue Sox have got a great,
Yeah, you
great
kind of can't
logo,
go
great
wrong with
name.
that,
So like they're all good names. And different evolutions. I mean, in all sports, everyone changes their logos and changes their colors, keeps up with the time. I'm not sure what it's all about, but it's
That's all
all in
right.
good faith.
Yeah, you
Yeah,
just put on what they give you,
now the
right?
one thing I wish, I know in the 90s ABL there was a team, I don't remember where from, called the Bush Rangers. That would have been the best team in the league. What a name.
I'm trying to remember where they were from.
I don't know. But that's,
Find
I mean,
out.
a Bush Ranger is basically just like a cowboy in Australia, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But
Are they going to be from like
like a
some.
ranger. It's just like a ranger, obviously someone who's out there checking on people doing the right thing out in the outback, I guess.
See, it's weird. Like, there's Texas Rangers in the United States. Like, everybody knows what that is, but not really. Like, I live in Pennsylvania. There's no rain. Well, I guess there's maybe like
There's not
state
a lot of
troopers.
like range in Pennsylvania. It's like we got like park rangers.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
okay. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All
A
right,
park ranger. Exactly.
we're very far afield. So
Yes, we
Logan,
are.
if you don't mind, unless you want to keep
Yeah,
talking logos, we can do that all day if you want. But
that's all right.
if you don't mind, can you tell us what's going on with the ABL? Like, obviously you're a player and you're a Team Australia player. What's the communication like? Like, who does it go through? Who tells you when the season's going to be starting, how it's going to be working, how many teams are going to be in it, or are you left to fend for yourself?
Look, I, for me, and I can't really speak for other players as well. It's like nothing had really changed. You know what I mean? As if you were a part of one of the clubs that was a part of a change, then obviously the communications would be different.
Sure.
But as of now, I think they came out last week or a couple of days ago. They kind of gave us a rundown of the season, and it looks to be the same. So I think realistically for us, for the Bandits, nothing was you know, and now we know nothing really was going to change, right? It's still the 39 or 40 game season they're talking about. You still play everyone, you still fly everywhere. It's still going to be a four game series, or most of the time 3 game series. So there's not too much of a change. I think if there was going to be a big change, we would have been told. So, you know, like everyone's trying to get the players involved, as in the players they're going to get from overseas, from Australia. So I mean, you know, Benny, the manager of the Bandits, has been doing a great job of the communication. So for me, like, you know, the Bandits is here, so I didn't, you know, obviously you hear the outside noise, but you can't really take that for what it is. You just got to wait till they make the decision. And as far as for the Bandits goes, like, there's no real change. Like, there's two less teams, I get that, but I'm sure they'll be back, and or you know, whatever's going to happen next season. But it's just, you know, business as usual for us.
That's
Yeah, I
actually good
imagine there
news.
has to be a certain amount of, like, you just play who's on your schedule, you know, just it's gonna be a couple
course.
other teams a little more frequently this year.
I mean, you know, you look at it at different sides. Like, I don't get too much, I don't want to dive too deep into it because I don't know the ins and outs, but it's two less teams. But then if you look at the teams that are in it, they're going to be stacked. You're going to still have the best players around the world who aren't playing, who want to come to the Australian League playing. You're still going to have your top prospects. You're still going to have, I assume, your Japanese guys. So it's going to be still going to be like competitive, if not more competitive. So,
Has anybody left any of the clubs that aren't competing to stay in ABL, or is that not allowed?
oh, that's something I don't know enough about.
Okay.
But I'd assume some guys would, like, you know, Melbourne are talking about going to Korea, so that's great. And then you got guys that obviously want to still play in the Australian League. And so the guys in Canberra or the guys in Melbourne, if they didn't want to go, you know, personal reasons, I'm sure they're looking for a club to play for. So I guess we'll wait and see.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too, because one of the knocks on, you know, Australian baseball from people that I've heard is that, you know, these national team players need more reps, right? And the Australian Baseball League is obviously the best place to do that outside of guys who play professionally overseas. And so, you know, has there been any talk of, okay, we already don't play a long season. Now we're taking out two teams. So now we're only at two-thirds capacity. Is there any worry that the guys that are going to play on a national team aren't going to get the reps that they need?
There hasn't been any talk about that, no.
That's good.
Okay.
That's the
In
perfect
short,
answer.
yeah, in short, there has not been. And if I look at it in like a from a player's perspective, is we've still got a good enough team, no matter who we put on the field, no matter how many games we've played, we're still going to have a good enough team, like we showed last WBC.
Yeah, for
To
sure.
mix it with the big, yeah, to mix it with the big boys, you know, like obviously you hope Curtis Meade and Travis Bazana, they're going to try and play. I don't see how that team, and I obviously have always thought this, but I don't see how that team can't make a semi-final or can't get to a final. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that everybody's eyes were a little bit opened on the Australian team last go around, because I mean, especially when you guys beat Korea, like, right out of the gate. Like, that was maybe the biggest statement game of the entire tournament. So yeah, I think people are probably still going to be looking to Australia to be, like, a competitor this time around. So that's probably where the worry about the reps is coming from. So I don't think anybody would care if it was a team nobody expected to do anything, you know?
Exactly. And I think, like, WBC and Premier 12, like, they're or not the Premier 12, but the WBC's played in March, right? So all the guys are in the same boat. So majority of the American guys aren't playing. They're just training, Some of them might live in an area where it's cold, they're training indoors. Where we're playing, we've come off a season, no matter how many games you've played, and then we go straight to, I'll give the obviously the Team Australia guys a bit of a like how good it is. Like they put us in a 3 week prep in Japan. We play against really good Japanese guys, and we're there getting acclimated with the team. Like, to be honest, I don't know if other national teams are actually having that prep. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like
I
USA
mean,
and
we
all
know the
them will probably
American
come
team
together
isn't.
two weeks before or through, but us as a team, like we pride ourselves on like we're with each other, we play against each other. We mingle with each other as a league, and then when the national team goes away, it's like we're just stepping into that role. We're all together, like we've got it pretty good. It might look different from the outside, but when we come together, we're all as a group pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I know that, because I correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's Canberra and Melbourne are the two teams that aren't planning on playing in the ABL.
Yes.
Okay. So I was thinking off the top of my head, and I'm sure there are more. I was like, Robbie Perkins, probably the starting catcher, was last time. He
Yep,
plays
yep.
for Canberra. Daryl George plays for Melbourne, and I think a couple other guys that I'm not thinking off the top of my head. And I was, and one of the big advantages that I've heard about Team Australia in the past was that a lot of these teams, like you said, who play in MLB or NPB or KBO, they're coming off the offseason, so a lot of times they're rusty. The ABL guys are coming right out of, because the season ends January, February. They're coming right out of the season and they're all ready to go. So,
Yep.
that's where I think the worry comes from, is if you have starting players in the national team that don't have the whole workload. What's it going to look like? But I'm sure that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, as far as I know, obviously the Canberra guys, I assume they're gonna, play where they want to play, and then the Melbourne guys, if they're going over to Korea, well, I mean, I know it's. For the I'm talking on the side of the Australian team, that's a good thing. Like they're going over there getting reps playing against the Koreans who are going to be probably playing first round again. And they're going to be seeing really good baseball. And then the guys who are everyone who's in the Australian team will be here playing against them as well. So yeah, like whichever way you look at it, there's pros and cons. But for the Australian team, we're playing in a professional league with, some of the biggest prospects in the world. They all come and play here. It's a, it's it proves to be that it's going to put us in good stead for the WBC.
Okay. So it sounds like, at least as far as the national team, you're not like terribly concerned about the situation with Melbourne and Canberra like affecting the national team in a
I don't.
meaningful way.
I, yeah, no, I don't. I don't see why not. Obviously, the guys that if they don't play at all, then it's like, oh, okay. Well, there's obviously guys that are going to be playing all off season around the world. Australian guys that'll be good enough to play in the Australian team. But no, the guys that are in the Australia, like the Australian team is the pinnacle of this country to play baseball. So everyone's going to do what they can to put them in best position for Dave Neilson, the manager, to pick him. So if David, then it comes to obviously the trust in him. If David thinks that you're ready to go, he's gonna put you in there.
Perfect. Perfect.
And
Sounds like
it's
everything's
one of
going
those
great.
things too where you hear all the other countries starting to come out and bring all their big dogs to play. Like once you've played in WBC or Premier 12, it doesn't matter how much money you're making somewhere else, where you want to play in that team. It's as simple as that.
I mean, I want you to know this has been very reassuring, because these have all been things that have been worrying me and lots of other people. And it's good to hear a guy on the ground going, "I'm not concerned."
No, I'm
That's
not
good.
concerned, man.
That's good. So, all right, if I can switch back to the ABL now, because as much as I love talking about the national team, and I'm sure we will get back into it later, I do want to know, as a player in the ABL, it's been going for what, maybe 15 years, roughly, something like that total. So obviously you haven't played all 15 years, I don't think, but in your experience, what has the ABL started from and what has it gone to, and has it been good or bad?
As a player, it's been all good. There's always like speculation and this and that. But as a player, you don't see what goes on behind the scenes, right? You turn up, you play. It's been great. Everyone who's come over here and has played in the ABL, every player that I've spoken to, and a lot of players have actually gone on and played in the big leagues, have spoke nothing but praise about the ABL. So as a player, for me, it's been great. It's still, you're trying to see where the progression's going, and like the teething process, like every league, I think, like the basketball league here in Australia has gone through its peaks and its troughs and stuff like that. So I assume it's gone through a few of those things over its time. But as a player, the fans still show up. The fans love it. Anyone who does come, they love it. So, obviously a nice big stadium would be good.
Yeah,
Like
sounds like it wouldn't
realistically,
suck.
yeah, like realistically, if you're playing in a stadium, then you can bring more people, you can bring the hype and stuff like that. But for what it is, a boutique league in Australia that's trying to, that's try, that's, every year trying to grow and get better and bigger and bring better people, better players to the league, it's doing its best. It's good.
Yeah, I think something that I don't know if I mentioned this on our last two episodes, but I know a couple of guys who played in the ABL, and they have had like nothing but just glowing reviews of their time there. So it definitely seems like the players love the ABL. It seems like the hiccups have all come on like the business side. And yeah, I mean, we talked at length with Dan Vaughn, and it was the Aussie Hoopla guy. What was his name again?
Damn boys.
Dan Boyce. We spoke to him too. Just we talked a lot about like the business side and like the cultural side and all with them. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds like everybody who's involved on the player end is happy, you know?
Yeah,
So.
exactly. And that's what I mean. Like the players aren't involved in anything, business side, but like we're always competing with cricket, like we're always competing with all the other big Australian sports. So, the back's against the wall, right? It's always hard, but you just, once you get the people down here to come and watch, which we do, but it'd be good to have more. People are going to be hooked. Like everyone, when they travel to America, all the Australians who have never been to a baseball game, they'll go to America, and the first thing they'll do in their first week is go to a Dodgers game, or like an Angels game, or a Yankees game. So it's in us. It's just that there's a lot of sports, there's a lot of competition, and that's kind of where we sit at the moment.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it kind of reminds me of like every couple of years in America, a spring football league will come up. I'm talking American football. You guys call it gridiron, right? Okay. So like a gridiron football league will always come up and we play it, sort of like late, like early fall time through the winter. And so somebody will come along and say, I want to play football in the spring. And it just kind of doesn't work because people love the NFL and they're not that interested in non-NFL leagues. But there was one that came along. I have a reason for bringing this up. There's one that came along called the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, I think. And they like had so much marketing and they had a bunch of ex-NFL guys and they had a lot of hype and people kind of bought into it. And then I think it had a 10-game season and they got through like six games and just absolutely collapsed because it was like players weren't getting paid, vendors weren't getting paid, all this stuff. And it was like it looked really good until all of a sudden the bottom just dropped out. And I feel like the ABL, from what you're describing, is the complete inverse, where like the money problems are up front and in your face, as opposed to being hidden with the example I just gave. But all the players are happy, the fans are happy, everybody's having a good time. And there kind of just is this open question of, I don't know if there's enough money to do this long term. I don't know how we're going to grow it, whatever. I'd almost rather have that, where it's like, listen, everybody's doing this for love of the game, than have this like, all this stuff brewing in the background and everything looks shiny, and then all of a sudden it comes to a head. So that was sort of a long way of saying, like Tom said, all the players that he's ever talked to seem thrilled. Like you said, you seem thrilled. I've literally never heard a bad report of somebody being treated poorly or anything like that, of anybody not liking it. So I guess my question is, does anybody on the player side, because obviously I'm not asking you to speak for management or ownership or anything, but how concerned as pl like are the players about the money aspect of the league, or is it just love of the game?
I think it's the love of the game. Obviously, everyone wants to keep playing, right? Everyone wants there to be an Australian league and to keep playing. So, of course, there's going to be that concern, like, oh, wouldn't it be like terrible if we couldn't play in the ABL or if the AB, but as long as it's still going, you know what I mean? Everyone's fine. Everyone gets treated well. I don't know what the reports are like, but everyone gets treated well. Like everyone, the people that get involved, the sponsors, the commercial side, like, you know what I mean? Like they're all good. No negativity. So, yeah, as a player, yes, it would suck if there's an O league. Of course, it would suck. You know what I mean? But, the fields are here. Everyone's getting ready for the season. All the colours are coming out. You know what I mean? It's a go ahead. So, yeah, to answer your question, of course, yeah. If there's no Australian League, then the guys can't play at the highest level. They're obviously baseball is still a big junior game in Australia. Like obviously you've got your tiers and it's still competing, but in terms of like junior levels and your local clubs, like your A grades. So I'm not sure if like America has it as such, but it's like it's kind of like yeah. You guys might have it, but it's we have like an A grade, B grade, C grade system where you can still play on a Friday and a Sunday in a pretty good league.
I don't know. You would be able to speak to that, Tom, I think.
A
So it's not
grade
like
B.
how you have like independent ball. So,
D ball.
but yeah, we have like community clubs that play each other.
Oh, real fast, Logan. We're gonna have
Whoa,
to
Sean
switch.
Spradling.
We're gonna have to switch topics. I will fill you in
Surprise
as we go
appearance.
along. I threw this together at the last minute. Logan, I don't know if you're familiar with Sean Spradling. He does a bunch of World Baseball Classic
Oh,
content.
yeah, I am.
You
I am. I am.
familiar? Oh, he's the
Yeah.
best. I threw Sean
He's
a link.
familiar. The reason I know he's familiar is because he just followed me like 2 days ago.
Hey, there you
So, yeah,
go.
I did,
There you
man.
go. Perfect. I didn't
How
think
you
Sean was
going,
gonna be able
man?
to do it. That's why I didn't bring it up to you earlier, because he hadn't answered, so I didn't think he was gonna do it. Real fast, we can get back to the league. But Sean, would you like to deliver a spot of news to Logan Wade? You might know already, but I'm excited at the prospect of him finding out.
Deliver it to us, man.
I
I already
mean,
know about this.
hey, well, here's the thing is I posted it and didn't say anything about it in the updated graphic
Yeah, I think
because
it flew under the radar.
of course, Logan, like I tagged him in the post when posting the Australia WBC Dream Team. And I think that I know that he approves of it because he followed me. And so that's approval in itself. But no, the news that Ethan is so excited for me to share that I posted in the updated graphic is I actually included Ben Brown, Cubs pitcher, on the graphic for Team Australia, because there had been speculation for a long time that he may at one point have had a Australian ancestor. And then we're like, oh wait, no, it actually might be close enough in his family to where he could be eligible. Well, I was able to confirm that he is eligible for Team Australia in the WBC. And that's about it. I don't know if he's interested in playing at all, but I do know for a fact that Team Australia is aware and he is aware. So,
Get him down there.
okay, that's huge news. I like it.
Were you
Great
did you know
news.
did you know about this, Logan, or did I just give you news?
No, that's news. It's breaking news. It's breaking
You
news. I don't
couldn't
know. Definitely not.
tell.
Like, it's funny you say that because over the years we've had some guys that have a connection to Australia that legally can play from what I've been told, right? And it's exciting. It's exciting, but you just don't know what goes on behind in the background of like if you can get them to play. There's obviously all these little rules and stuff. So, of
Course.
course.
And it's
Anyone, any guys out there who've got Australian ancestors or are married to an Australian or some connection, have an Australian passport, I believe that's all you need. Have eligibility. So I know there's some big leaguers out there that would, for sure.
There's got
Just
to
go
be,
make the
right? I
call.
mean, I would assume that there's at least one or two other players that have either married an Australian woman or spent a couple years in Australia that now have residency. Like, there's got to be a couple others.
Yeah, there is. There is. There definitely is. Sorry, I'm
No,
getting a
it's a
call.
fun time though. It's the Australia's team in the WBC. I think
It's a tough balance because, of course, you want to be the strongest team that you can possibly field at that like global stage. But at the same time, there's a couple countries in the WBC that have that like special extra charm of only fielding homegrown players. And so you have, of course, Czechia. You have probably a Brazil with the addition of a couple players. But then you have Australia. Australia's always had their own players. So I know that maybe Australian fans might even be torn. It's like, well, we want to see like our homegrown players. And then others are like, well, let's get a Ben Brown. Like, let's add to that pitching staff. So what would you say, Logan? What's kind of your mentality behind that?
Well, look, I see it from both sides, right? So you want to play with the best, you want to be the best team. So obviously you want these guys to like come and actually, like be eligible to play. But obviously some of the big leaguers would be dealing with like their club and contracts and like they want to sign another year. Well, if you go play WBC, this can, all those things jump up. But I think what's helping it is, as I was saying to the boys before, is like the WBC, everyone wants to play now. Like you see USA, people are jumping at the bit to try and play for them.
Finally, by the way.
So yeah, who what is his name? Goldschmidt. He just keeps wanting to come back and play. Paul Goldschmidt.
For like a split second there, I thought you were going to say like, yeah, did you actually know his wife's Australian? I was like, what?
There is.
I got real. I got really excited.
I want to like drop some names, but I don't have too much confidence if it's actually
Logan,
true. Do you know what I
drop
mean? Because like,
them. Drop the names.
Because what if I said a name and it's like, no, that was like my ex, or like, it's just kind of, yeah, it just
I
can't
do
happen.
like the idea of like, like Aaron Judge formally accused of being Australian.
I know. Hey, well, it would put us in the media, and they might go, "Oh, you know what?"
True.
But no, I think if you've got these guys chomping at the bit to play, why wouldn't you want to have them? Do you know what I mean?
That's how
There you
I
go.
feel.
Why wouldn't you like? Like whenever we hear that, it was 2017, I think there was talks of. There was talks of Liam Hendricks joining the team in Korea. Like we'd plan in Korea for a pre-match, and he was going to come and play. Like, you know how exciting that is for the team?
Yeah,
Like,
didn't
what?
Kenley Jansen or somebody do that for the Netherlands, where they were like, if you make it past whatever round, then I'll come join up.
The funny one to me was Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He was like, okay, like I had an injury right before the WBC, but like I'll join you for the second round. When we make it to the quarterfinals, I'll make sure to join the team. Of course, the Dominican Republic's going to make it out of pool play, right?
Right,
Well, they
for
didn't.
sure. Yeah,
They didn't. And so he was like, well, I guess I don't get to play in the WBC. But
Yeah. See, like, yeah, I just don't know what goes on in the background, right? Like, yeah, you want all those guys to play. You also want them to like, I get like coming in the second round. I get it, right? I get it. But as a manager, how are you gonna like replace a guy that's got yourself to the second round, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're not playing center field anymore.
Actually, we found this American guy.
You got three hits for us and did this and did that and got us through, but man, like this guy's coming back. So I get both rounds, but you just want them there no matter what. Like playing against Tommy Edman for Korea and guys that like you just didn't even realize had connections to it. And you're like, this is so sick.
Yeah, like
And
Lars
I mean,
Nubar for Japan.
I think that's kind of part
Lars
of the
Nubar.
reason. I think it's kind of part of the reason why my graphics have been like so well received because so many people didn't realize that like Lars Nootbaar was eligible for Japan or a Ben Brown is eligible for Australia. And not only does that get like fans excited in all of these different countries to see their national team be the strongest it can be, but at the end of the day, for me, like if a Tommy Edman has the close enough tie to his Korean side that he actually wants to represent his nat that national team, like that's enough for me. Like who am I to say that like he's not Korean enough to play for Team Korea? If a Ben Brown feels like that close to his like Australian family, like, yeah, go for it, dude. Like, go represent your family and your friends. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you obviously heard about the story. Well, this is what I heard about Tommy Edmund, Lars Nootbaar joining the Japanese team. Did you hear about that? How he actually got there?
I don't know.
So this is what I heard as well. You can't quote me, but that Otani played with or played against Lars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Otani said something to the Japanese or said something to Lars, like, hey, you got to, you know, you'd be awesome for the team. And then I think maybe Otani might have gone to the Japanese team. Anyway, they've made it work for Otani.
Okay.
And he got him to play. And, like, just knowing that story, I think, before the WBC and watching him play for that team and watching the fans embrace him was just, like, the coolest thing that anyone could ever go through. Like, he was, you know, I could just see it, like, you know, playing against him. And I could just see the love everyone had for him. Obviously, he was doing well, too, in the team. Right. He was, like, one of their main superstars. But, yeah, just the way that they – the way that they embraced him was so cool to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then Tommy Edmund, probably something similar, I assume, like, unless Tommy Edmund reached out to the Korean team, but from what I heard was, like, obviously the Japanese team and the Korean team wanted them to be a part of the pre-camp as well, which mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that super checks out.
That sort of goes
around like the kind of mercenary thing that you were talking about, where guys might be a little bummed out if they get replaced on the roster by some random American who just walks in and is like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm on a pitch count and I'm not going to try my hardest because my club will yell at me if I do, you know. Bring them in and bring them into like a pre-team like bonding experience. It probably does a lot to kind of get rid of that factor.
Yeah. And like the personality stuff and guys like where they're kind of at in preparation, like you can tell if a guy wants to be there,
right?
And then you can tell if a guy that's just like showing up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So playing against Tommy Edmund, you could see he was lead off, stealing bags, like just playing awesome. So like you can just tell like he was in it, you know.
But you guys beat him. No big deal.
And be like, well, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all.
Still needed one more run.
I got a question for you, Logan. So one thing that's been going on lately, and I don't know exactly how it works, but the KBO has sort of amended their import rules so that Aussie guys don't count against the import rules or something. I don't know exactly what it was, but they've like changed it so that they can have an extra Aussie guy, basically. So I think Lachlan Wells and Cohen Wynn have been getting reps over there. And that seems like Jared Dale's playing in Japan, I think. Like Jared that seems Dale's, like a huge deal. Like how does that excite you guys moving forward to know that, you know, the KBO is a pretty high level play. You can get some reps against and also kind of a rival. You play against them a lot in the WBC. What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, all stems from the league, but then the national team as well, you know, cuz all it takes is like, you know, Cohen Wynn pretty sure he pitched against them. Like they've obviously seen how well these guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys on the national team are good enough to go and play wherever, you know what I mean? So it's awesome. Like, you know, obviously each year is something different, like the KBO or the NPB might have their rules and stuff like that, who they're chasing, who they need. But I think Wellesley, I'm not sure if he was there at the start of the season, but they picked him up. Like he was just in Australia. Flew over there. Now he's starting big games. So Cohen Wynn, like, how good's that? He was, you know, his story's great as well. He actually came into the Australian team in the WBC as a late replacement. I believe someone got injured, so he was on the next flight over, and then end up doing really well in the WBC, and then now he's in the KBO making money and doing great. Okay. So it's awesome. How can you not love it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Awesome. I'm going to have to go in a second, guys. I just popped in. I know it's a surprise. So thank you for sending me that link.
No, absolutely.
Nice to meet you, mate.
Yeah, it's really nice to meet you. Excited to hear more of this podcast. And as the WBC gets closer, how the team shapes up.
Are you going over to the WBC?
Yeah, I'll
adapt
be
to,
in
dude.
Houston for the pool stage, and
Yep.
then I will see you in Miami when you make it to the semifinals.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Yes.
Hey,
Sean, no, go ahead.
I in my DMs talking with some players about the dream teams. I was actually talking to Todd Van Steensel about the last WBC, and he was like, dude, we were so ready to head over to Miami. We had everything packed up. They had us like book our flights and everything, and then we were like an inning away. It was just brutal how they prepared you. Like everything was all prepared for you to get to Miami, and then all of a
I
sudden.
think our flights were on the plane, maybe, because it was obviously a chartered plane. So whichever team lost, it's like, oh, we're gonna take your bags off.
Oh,
So it was
God.
like obviously like we thought there was not one thought in our mind that we were gonna lose that game. So is what
Yeah.
it is.
That was a
Hey,
close game too, right?
we'll get
Wasn't that
them.
like a 4-3 game? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were leading like 2-0 or 3-1 or
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah. It was
Would have been a
close.
blast to see. And I mean, hey, putting together this team, if the national team looks anything close to that graphic that I made, it's going to be stronger on both the offense and pitching side. Like, no
Yeah.
doubt about it. This team is looking absolutely stacked with a lot of youth, some big stars in a Meade and a Bezina. Like, it's going
Oh
to be
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. All right. I
Sure
got
is.
one last question for you. It's not WBC related, but I got to know. I love this kid. I think he has a very bright future. Tell me what you know and what you think about Max Durrington.
Max is, yeah, exactly what you said. Like, I've pretty close with his dad, as in, like, before I signed and went to America, or like wanted to sign, I did a lot of work with his dad, and I respect him highly. And not only till recently, because obviously he was trying to make his way like to A grade, the local league here, played against him, and like you can just tell he's going to be a big leaguer. He runs the ball, he can hit anywhere in the field. Once he starts, I saw him, he hit his first home run. Like, he's going to be a big leaguer, I think. His dad's a big leaguer. He's got his head screwed on. Nothing. Yeah, all I can say is praise for that kid. He's gonna be good. He's gonna, like, to me, he's like a Tommy Edman.
Oh,
Do you know what I mean? And
that's
he's gonna
high
grow
praise.
like a bit thicker. So he's good.
This
Watch
is
out for
Trent
him.
Durrington's son, right?
Trent,
Correct.
yes.
Okay.
It is.
Max
In the
Durrington.
A's organization. He's awesome, man. I watch him play and I love how like scrappy and gritty he plays, but also like I only ever hear great things off the field, which is like ultimately like what I'm looking for in a player too. It's like if I want to support a player, I want to know that they're great people, that they're hard workers. I talked with John Diebel a couple days ago. He said this kid is the hardest worker in baseball, and John Diebel knows some players. Like that's high praise. So yeah.
No, I think there was a few teams trying to chase him, but yeah, like he just head switched on, and I don't see it deviating too much. You know what I mean? Like he'll put his best foot forward to try and get in that big league team. So I mean, he runs, and he's always, whichever is going to be hitting or running, you got to have him in your team because he's just
Yeah.
lightning.
He's a weapon.
Is he a guy that?
He kind of reminds
Sorry,
me
go
of
ahead.
Jake Mangum, who just got called up a couple
Yeah.
months ago with the Rays. He just hits. Like he's gonna hit the ball and he's gonna get on base and he's freakishly fast, like, and he's gonna work to get there. Like he's awesome.
That's it.
Love it.
Okay.
Awesome,
Look
man.
forward to
Hey,
it. Bye, man.
Logan, it was great to meet you. I'm
You
sure
too,
we'll talk
Sean.
soon.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sounds good.
Ethan, Tom, great to see you guys. Tom, I'll
Good
leave
to
you
see you,
with
baby.
this. It's good to see you, man. Hopefully you're like
Dude,
that.
we're rivals now. It's weird.
Got to explain that for Logan. He's just standing there.
I work
Yeah,
for
I'll see you guys.
Victus, and
Hey, Mike.
thanks for stopping
see
by,
you,
Sean.
Sean. I work for Victus, and Sean works for Warstick, so we're at competing bad companies. So
Yeah, right.
if Team Australia needs gear.
You guys have what is it Brett is a sponsor down there, or is it?
I believe they're still sponsors.
Okay.
I believe they sponsor the league, so you still get bats, but you can use whatever bat you want. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think it works like that a lot in indie ball. I also know guys who played indie ball who were like, yeah, we were sponsored by a bat company, but we didn't like their bats, so we would buy other bats and just put their stickers on them.
Yeah, that's it.
So I know guys, guys find a way. It's sort of like life in Jurassic Park. But I guess the energy I'm getting through everything we've talked about is that there's a lot of like life in the Australian Baseball League. It's not dead at all. It just
No, I
feels
know.
like
Well, as I said, like I'm not even coming from a point of view where I'm not saying anything for the sake of it. I don't know anything. All I hear is, stuff from the manager and obviously being here. You know what I mean? Like being at the field. The field looks great. I don't know if you. I'll turn it round, but
Give us a
you
little
can just
turn if you don't
see.
mind.
You can just
Oh, look at
see
that.
like they're putting in like the F. Yeah, everything's. It's great. It's fantastic. So,
And that's the off season.
yes, it's the off season. Yep. They're down here. The groundsmen are down here every day. Like everything's going up bandits wise. Like it's yeah. Yep.
I think the fact that the players are all like excited. There's good talent down there. Like all of this, it like for anybody who was like worried about the ABL, like I see on like the ABL Reddit and like international baseball, like people are like kind of worried if they're fans. At least like for me, this is some good optimism to hear because the last couple episodes we did, it got a little grim at times. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we do. Although actually I'm interested in your thoughts, Logan. And keep in mind, I'm just an American guy who's never played baseball professionally and is not actually involved with the ABL at all. So feel free to tell me I'm an idiot. But one idea that I brought up when we were talking to Dan Vaughn. You know Dan Vaughn? He's the broadcaster for the Perth Heat.
I know
Okay.
him.
So we were talking to Dan, and one thing that I brought up, and obviously there's a money side issue, so you don't have to, you know what I mean? But we were talking about how in a lot of times in business, one of the costs that you can control is labor, right? And so my understanding, as someone not involved, is that when an import comes in from a major league system, so for instance, Logan Ohapi came over from the Phillies will pay the Adelaide Giants to have him. So he's not any cost to the Giants. So one cynical idea that I was saying was if money is that big of a problem, they could raise the cap or even entirely take it off on imports and let them subsidize the cost of paying players by doing something like that and bringing in a bunch of imports. Then you raise the level of play and then you make inroads with these major league systems. How would that go over in locker rooms with the Australian guys?
It's funny because they can't, you come for the year and then you're gone, right? So it's like, it's fine for us, right? It's fine for us because it pushes our young guys to still try and make the teams and this and that. The older guys, it's fine with as well. Like everyone buys in, every team has a culture. So you're coming into the team culture and you kind of, buy into the little things that everyone does, which makes it, puts that extra spice on it for them, whether they love the experience or not, but most guys come and just buy in and it's awesome. But as a fan, right, like you love them and then they're gone the next year. So that's probably the hardest thing, right? That's
As
all.
far as like the
But
level of
the level of
okay.
play, like, yeah,
Yeah,
skyrocket
that's
the level of play. People just want to see home runs and, stealing
Well,
bases and making good plays, so.
for the native players, for the Australian guys, when you get imports like that, so I have found this in playing amateur baseball that like when I play against dudes who are better than me, it just makes me feel like I have to get better. And just so sometimes I feel like it just kind of happens even if I'm not consciously doing it. Is there any sort of effect like that when you get, imports who are like really good come over and play?
100%. Yep. Like everyone benefits from it in terms of like playing wise. Even the way they train, the way they carry themselves, what they do in the cage, like all these young guys kind of need that to get through. Some guys obviously want to make the team and then they're like disappointed because there are imports, but like it's just everyone will get their shot no matter which way it goes. But yeah, the guys, like, obviously you guys would probably have a list of Americans that have come over that have gone to play in the big leagues. The stats are like ridiculous.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, yeah, it's just, you can just rattle off names for days. But yeah, playing with these guys is is unreal. So it's like a bit of a catch. I don't know behind this, behind, you know, the commercial side, whether it's good or bad. But obviously you're getting, let's just say, yeah, if a club helps them out and brings them over, it's only positive stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine that, like, it, like playing against, like, a Ronald Acuna or being on the same team, that's what I was going to say.
Yep.
Yeah, like, there's no way that's not, like, spreading to other players around them. Like, you just watch the way he trains, and you're like, oh, I didn't, you know, I never would have thought of that. This dude's getting MLB coaching. So,
Acuna Jr., Jr., Caminero, in the home run, like he was here 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, two years ago. And yeah, it's just crazy how when these guys come here and play, and you know, you can't credit, like you can't go, oh well, we, you know, it's just that they've come over, they've experienced a different style of baseball, really fun. There's nowhere, it's not like you're climbing a ladder to try and make another team. Like this is the big leagues, right? So you're having fun. Yeah. Everyone's doing cool stuff. So they've experienced it, and whether it's been a positive in their life, I'm sure it has. It's helped them to get them where they are. So
yeah, I mean, like, dude, it really does sound like the on the field product that the ABL puts out there is just like fantastic.
I've ever seen
good things.
I'm
coming back to like this optimism, because like it really was something that I feel like as fans we were sort of like kind of hoping for, and I don't know, I am feeling a little better now, because it feels like if the fans and the players were just kind of like whatever, I guess it's gonna fail, then, like, yeah, it would be like, okay, is this worth fighting for? But, like, I think it is worth fighting for, and it sounds like everybody involved thinks that too.
Definitely. The players aren't – you're never going to see anything from the players like, oh, how's it going commercially? You know what I mean? Like, it's not – yeah, it's not about that. I know personally guys that are involved commercially, and you wouldn't meet better people.
Okay.
What they do for it, how they love it, you know what I mean? So and, you know, even guys in other states, you know, what these guys do in other states to give to the baseball community, that's why it's still here. Right. You know what I mean? So whatever's been said or been done, like, you go out and meet these people that are actually helping the league, you'd speak nothing of praise of them. So, you know, for everyone, if something happened to the league, it would be, it'd be sad. But
yeah, it would hurt.
As of now, mate, as of now, it's all go.
Yeah, like, as a little, like, microcosm, it actually legitimately bummed me out when the Auckland team folded. I have a Tuatara sticker on my car right now.
Yeah. Oh, same. So, they were, I couldn't believe it. Like, you go over there, you play, like, they made the stadium there, like, transition into a baseball field so well. Their fans were unreal.
Mm-hmm.
People working for them were unreal. All the baseball side of things was just so good. So, I was sad to see that happen as well. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So I guess
it'll be different without Canberra and Melbourne. It'll be definitely different. Like, you know, not going to Canberra, not going to Melbourne, or not seeing them come here. But things happen, and I'm sure it'll all get rectified, whichever way. There's always people out there that are wanting, you know, their teams to be in the league. So,
yeah, you do sound pretty confident, at least from what you've said, that you think they'll be back at some point. Which, you know,
I think so.
It's to a certain degree. Where else are they going to go? So, you know, I am inclined to agree with you.
Right.
I know Melbourne's trying it over in KBO, but you know they are awesome in Australia, so. Yeah, let's be in the Australian League, guys. This is an official call to action.
Yeah. I know. That's it. Well, see what happens.
Yeah.
And the thing that I've loved the most about this is, you know, like, as an American, like, I'm just terminally online when it comes to this, because I can't, you know, I'm not in Australia. So every time I see an article or somebody posts on Reddit or something about anything ABL and how a team's folded or something like that, it's just a bunch of comments of being like, well, I like the league, looks like we're done, you know, nothing's going to happen, whatever. It's very nice to have a guy who's like a member of the team, you know, like a legend of the, you know, of the ABL, saying like, no, I'm at the park right now, I'm getting ready to play, we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that people watching the, you know, all 10 people or whoever that watch this will know that as
Ah, it's
far as
good.
I can tell and as far as you can tell, there will be an ABL season. And that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's it. And yeah, I don't obviously online's online. Like as you guys would know, it's probably your, you know, your space more than mine. But I'm not very good at the online stuff. But obviously you can't not read all that stuff. But like,
Boom roasted.
no, like it's seriously, I don't know what it is, but I just can't. Yeah, I don't know. But like, I read it and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is why it's hard to be online for that long because all the stuff that's been said, you know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. You got to stay off it. I just sometimes you have a hard time with it.
It's just,
Yeah, but I guarantee you speak with any other player, any other Australian player, especially. Like local Australian player that's hoping to play in the Australian League, it'll all just be positive stuff. Like everyone will be out getting their work in, I assume. And you know, I still keep in touch with some guys, and yeah, the AVL will come around, and we'll all be playing. It'll be on whatever platform it'll be on, and we'll
Is
be
it?
ready. So both for the Bandits and obviously. The Australian team, everyone's hoping to try and make that team and be healthy. So,
I'm looking
perfect.
forward to this, man. The Australia team, Australia and the Czech Republic are like my teams in the World Baseball Classic. Like, obviously, I root for the United States, but you know, like rooting for the United States feels like a little bit of a gimme. Like, oh yeah, I'll root for, you know, one of the best teams because I'm from there. But like
It's,
the
yeah.
Australia team and the Czech Republic team are like the ones that I'm like, yeah, you know what? I learned to love this team.
Yeah, Czech Republic, exactly the same. Like, yeah, it's when Trevor Bauer went there and did that little YouTube thing with him, it was so cool to see. And I was almost like, you know, like, it's almost like I wanted to write to him. I was like, mate, you should come out to the Australian League.
I don't know why he hasn't. Yeah, that would be
Because,
cool.
but I mean, he probably, I assume maybe he already kind of knew there was a league. Like, maybe not. I could be completely naive. He's probably like, doesn't even know
Probably
anything about it.
does.
Yeah, but it's been at least enough to set online and stuff that there is an Australian league. So that might have been the reason, but it's exactly from what I saw in that clip, Australian, the way that the people who are playing the game love the game and look after their clubs and get out there, and a lot of people still work and this and that, keep the ball rolling, and then you go out and play on the world stage. So it's cool.
That is a good point. I don't know why we have never heard anything about Trevor Bauer playing in Australia. Like he played in Mexico, you know, Mexican league is not like the most prestigious league in the world, not compared to like NPB or MLB or anything. So, you know, it's like, dude, go give Australia a try, man. The Australia League's falling.
It is. I mean, my dream is for, because there have been some great players, imports, you know, non-Australians that have played down there. Ronald Acuna, Rhys Hoskins played there. Josh Reddick went there at the end of his career.
Cornelius Randolph.
Yeah, Philly's great Cornelius Randolph. My dream is just for one day for like, you know, a Rhys Hoskins type, a real good player, you know, to go down there, meet some nice Australian girl in a bar, and then just start crushing for Australia in the WBC. That's all I want. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yeah, I think he could make that happen. Yeah, mate, he was, yeah, like he, when you bring up those names, you think like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, who's one of the guys, you know, that you've most the best player that you've seen come in the Australian League, and there's so many, but in terms of like a hitter, like Rhys Hoskins was probably, yeah, definitely the best.
Yeah, Delmon Young, maybe.
Sure, yeah. But like
We
for
are
one year,
big
like
Rhys
Delmon came, what,
Hoskins
two or
fans
three years,
here.
but yeah.
So,
For one
yeah.
year to come in and do what Rhys Hoskins did was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Logan,
we've.
I know you got training to do. I know we've taken up a lot of your time.
Yeah, I got to go warm up again now.
Yeah, that's fine. Just if I
Nah.
may, just
Oh, no.
one,
I'm
let
just.
me let anybody know where to find you. If you got any social media or anything you want to plug, go for it. If you don't worry about it. And two, what do you want to leave the audience with knowing about the ABL? If you could give them one pitch to go check it out, what would it be?
Well, I just think that it's easy to, you know, easy for me to say, but just don't lose the faith in it because it's still here. Nothing's really going to change. Obviously, there's going to be two less teams, but nothing's going to change. The baseball's going to get better. The fan experience is going to get better. Don't change that thought. You know, like whatever's been said has been said, but it's played. It's go time for the league. So,
yeah, right. Love it, love it.
But yeah, and no, I'm sorry. Nothing to plug, mate. I just got Instagram, and that's it.
That's fine. Go check him out on Instagram. Yeah, last thing, I promise. Instagram. I think Tom will make a decision. We should make this running joke anytime we have a non-English or a non-American on our show. Logan, yeah, could you rate our American accents out of 10 real fast?
Gonna say 6.
Oh, for both of us, we get the same grade.
No, because you guys have the same accents that are on TV. Just like you guys haven't got a southern accent, or you haven't got a, what's the other one that's like really like twangy?
Like Western.
Western, yeah. So you got to have one of them to like get up to, you know.
Okay.
A 7 or above. Sorry.
I think our accent's pretty boring too. We have a very local accent to where we live.
I lived in America for like 5 or 6 years. So it's like if you ask someone that hadn't lived in America for that long or been around Americans, they might have given you more.
Might score higher.
Nah, 6 out of 10 completely tracks to me, dude. I got from Dan, I got that I have like a Louisiana vibe. And I was like, have you ever heard people from Louisiana, man? Like,
yeah, you don't sound like a Louisianian.
Yeah, it's probably just... Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I'll give them the like visually, but we were talking accents, you know.
No,
like,
not visually, the accents.
Really?
You think so? Really?
Yep.
You spent a lot of time in Louisiana.
No, but just I don't know. It's like you speak like I don't know how to explain it. But you're definitely different for me.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. Okay. Cool. All right. Well,
I want to give your Australian accent an 8 out of 10. I think
Aussie accents are all the same unless you're from Adelaide. They got a bit of British in it.
No, that's not really true though, because I was telling Dan this on the last episode.
Oh, unless you're like an Aussie, like you know, real Aussie hick, Aussie bloke.
Yeah. Yeah, like you are a little bit more this than he was, but like when I hear an Australian guy, I want like Steve Irwin, like crikeys, you know, and like you sound like if I got you really excited about something, it might come out a little bit, you know.
Yeah, if you got me in a group of Australians all talking about, you know, basic stuff, it might come out, but
yeah, just being real bogans.
Yeah, just a bunch of bogans. Just
that's when the Delco accent comes out with me. So you know, it's the same exact phenomenon.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Well, don't get offended about the 6. It's just that it's not even a scale of like you know bad to good. It's just you guys have like I feel
generic.
Probably like yeah, like if someone was to try and put on an American accent, they would try and sound like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That's it.
So like we set the standard.
When Hugh Laurie put on his American accent to play Dr. House, you know, like there it is. Yeah. Study the baseball podcast, everybody.
Yeah, there we go.
That's it.
Perfect.
All right,
Logan, you fellas. Go train. You we've taken up enough of your time. Thanks so much for coming on, man. And good luck the season and good luck with the upcoming WBC. Hopefully, we'll see Ben Brown there with you.
Yeah, that's it. Ben Brown. Shout out, Ben Brown.
All right.
Perfect. All right, I'm sure you got more connections than we do. So go get Liam Hendricks or Dave Nielsen or somebody to reach out to him.
That's it. All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, man. Have a good one. Thanks so much, Logan.
No worries.